It's a story we're very familiar with from the book of Genesis. We'll begin reading with verse 12. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud. And I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." I want to make special emphasis on two scriptures here that we read. Verse 13, "I set my rainbow in the cloud." Then in verse 16, the Lord says again, "The rainbow shall be in the cloud." A man had a wonderful farm with a fine spring. The spring produced just an abundant supply of cool, fresh water. It filled his lake. It fed. It watered his family. It gave water to his livestock. It was a critical part of the success of that farm. But one night there was an earthquake, a mild earthquake. And the plates of the earth below the ground shifted. And when he got up the next morning, the spring had completely dried up. And he thought, "What am I going to do? This spring was the lifeblood of this farm. What's going to happen? We're going to be ruined." It was a terrible day for him. That night he could hardly sleep. But when he got up the next morning, he went outside just to examine the place where the spring had been. And instead of the water being there, it was gushing forth massive volumes of black, precious crude oil. And he went from being just a moderate income farmer to being a very wealthy man overnight. The loss of one thing brought something greater even into his life. Many times God allows the loss of something to come to us so that he might provide something even better in his place. It's been said that for every cloud, there is a rainbow. But we have to be in the proper position to see it. When the shadows fall on us, when the darkness of despair and trouble comes into our lives, if we get in the proper position, facing Jesus, that's the proper position. If we get in the proper position facing Jesus, then we can see His love come shining through even the darkness of that moment in our lives. So this morning I want to talk to you about the clouds and the rainbow in the clouds. And we begin with the first point of the sermon, and that is clouds do come into every life. Hardly a day passes when you couldn't look up in the sky and see a cloud somewhere. It would be most unusual if you couldn't find a cloud somewhere in the sky. And hardly a day passes when there isn't a cloud, even a small one, in our own individual lives. A cloud of uncertainty or worry or whatever that may be. Certainly, in these most historic and worrisome days, the whole earth is going through with this pandemic. There are clouds over almost every person on the earth today because of it. Millions of people are filled with uncertainty and anxiety and despair and worry. Let's look at a few of God's people from the Bible that had some pretty serious clouds in their lives, because I think we can learn a lot from them. First of all, let's look at the life of the man Joseph. Now, his brothers were very, very jealous of Joseph, and their jealousy grew into hatred. It generally does that, by the way. Jealousy grew into hatred, and they grabbed his brother, the little brother, and they put him in a pit, and they sold him into slavery, and he's hauled off into Egypt. That's a pretty serious thing. That's a pretty tough cloud. But things didn't get any better for Joseph, because then he became a servant in a house of a man and a woman, and while the man was away, the woman tried to entice him to enter into an inappropriate relationship with her, and he refused her. You've heard that old expression, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. She was scorned badly. He tried to do the right thing. He did the right thing, by the way. But what happened? Her lying tongue took over. Devil was in her, and she began to tell everybody a powerful lie that he had tried to seduce her, that he had tried to harm her. And then they took poor Joseph and they threw him in jail, threw him in a dungeon. Now at that point, you know he had to be saying, God, what have I done? God, you've forgotten me completely. All of those things happening to him had no fault of his own. The reality is sometimes you and I have things come into our lives and we begin to think, God, have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten me? Well, of course, we know God never forgets, does he? And he didn't forget Joseph. In fact, he interceded for Joseph and he exalted him highly in that kingdom. It was a great story. What about the prophet Jeremiah? As we look at another great man of God in the Bible, Jeremiah, he so offended the king that he was thrown in a pit and left there to die. I can imagine how he felt at that moment, thrown in that pit. He's thinking, God, I've been true to you. I've followed your will. I've been preaching what you've asked me to preach in this world. And look what's happened to me. It's all been in vain. And that happens to you and me sometimes, doesn't it? We begin to think, God, I've served you. I've believed in you. And we think, God, I've had faith. I've trusted, I've prayed, I've attended church, I've been faithful, I've shown the love of Christ in my life, every chance I get, and why is this thing happening to me? In Jeremiah's case, his own countrymen, they tried to kill him because of his prophecies against them. So he's thrown into the dungeon to die. Can you imagine the despair he felt at that moment? God, where are you? But God hadn't forgotten him because the Bible says that he sent a man, a black man, a eunuch, a fellow by the name of Ebed-Melech. And Ebed-Melech went and found him in that dungeon and secretly got a bunch of rags and tied them together and lowered it down in the dungeon so that Jeremiah could get out. Now it was a pretty dark cloud he was under. But God did not forget him. God came to him and helped him. What about the man Daniel? We know his story very well. He was just following God, obeying God and praying to God and going against the orders of the kingdom. So he's thrown into the lion's den. That's a pretty dark cloud, isn't it? Can you imagine being in there, these lions waiting to devour you? But once again, we see the hand of God. We see the hand of God there, and he interceded for Daniel. And you know, Daniel was just as safe as God closed the mouths of those lions. Daniel was just as safe as if he'd been at home in his own bed. Because God didn't forget him. God was with his faithful servant. How about the Apostle Paul? You know, clouds begin to cover the Apostle Paul's life from the moment he met Christ on the road to Damascus until his final breath on this earth. That man, he had so many things happening to him. He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was lied about, all for the sake of him preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was shipwrecked. He suffered mentally and spiritually and physically. He suffered as much as any man has ever suffered for the cause of Christ. He lost his position. He lost his money. He lost his friends. Dark clouds are always there, it seemed, in Paul's life. And yet he endured all of it for Jesus. Remember, Paul is the one that wrote, "For all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord." You know, you think about it. Over the years, millions of men and women have walked in the same footsteps of the Apostle Paul, following Christ, trusting in Jesus. And I'll tell you that no follower of Christ ever escaped the clouds. No follower of Christ ever escaped the clouds. But thank God, God always provides a rainbow in the cloud. So as we examine these clouds, let's look at a second point today. And that is when God brings or allows those clouds to come into our life, the clouds are anointed by God, if we're trusting in the Lord. Pastor, what do you mean by that exactly? Well, as we looked at these biblical examples of great men of faith, we come to understand that despite the clouds, God always knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for you right now, this very moment, today. He knows that all sun and no clouds create a desert. It's true. If we never saw the clouds, think about it, we'd never see a rainbow. He builds our lives. He builds who we are as Christians through both adversity as well as prosperity, doesn't he? More character is built in sorrow than in success. The blade isn't sharpened without the grinding of the stone. Those things can be very unpleasant, but we know as we look back, it indeed builds character and faith and trust in God. When a weaver is weaving a rug, he puts in a few bright colors in the rug, but on one side it looks as if there's all just dark colors. But when he's finished with the rug and he turns it over, we see that it took both the dark and the bright to make that rug look beautiful. The same is true for our lives. So when we see all things that are happening to us in our lives, we see the clouds and the things that create so much worry or trouble or anxiety at different seasons in our life, if we will just stop and see those things in the true light of heaven, through the eyes of God, then we'll see that the truth is that life really is made more beautiful and more useful because of the few hardships that God brings into our lives. Someone once said, "I feel sorry for anyone who has never suffered." I think I understand the meaning of that. I hope you do too. George W. Truett pastored First Baptist Church of Dallas from 1897 to 1944. He pastored that church for 47 years. And when Pastor Truett died, First Baptist Church of Dallas had become the largest Southern Baptist church at that time in all of America. But this great man of God, Pastor Truett, knew a very dark period and a dark cloud in his life. He'd gone on a hunting trip with some of the members of the church board. While on that hunting trip, he was crawling through a fence and his gun went off and it shot one of his deacons in the back and it killed him instantly. For many days, Reverend Truett locked himself up in his room and would see no one. His heart was broken. Those hours alone with God, it seemed as if his whole life changed. It was transformed. After that incident, he didn't joke or smile quite as much as he used to. But he became one of the greatest preachers our country has ever known. The trouble that came to him, God used it to create a great heart and a passion for preaching the gospel and to bring the lost to Christ. And there was an anointing in his life that came because of that cloud. By faith, all of us, we see the clouds. And we see those clouds, just trust God for the anointing that's going to come in our lives because of the clouds. A third point today is that the same God who allows the clouds to come also sends the rainbow. Praise God for that rainbow. God allowed the clouds to come into Joseph's life. Despite all the things Joseph went through, the rainbow came in the sense that God promoted him to be prime minister of all of Egypt, second in command. God allowed the clouds to come into Jeremiah's life. Despite being in a dungeon, given up for dead, he became a great preacher of the Word of God to give the principles of God to those that would listen. God sent clouds into Daniel's life. And I'm sure Daniel, when he's dropped into that lion's den, he's thinking it's all over, but I'm still trusting God. The rainbow that came into Daniel's life is that after that event, God brought Daniel into great prominence in the kingdom, great respect and trust by the leaders of the kingdom. And God poured into the mind and spirit of that man Daniel a prophetic view of the future, a view of the future that's recorded in the book of Daniel that tells you and me what's going to happen in the days ahead. God, yes, He darkened the life of Paul with many clouds. But in time, God made Paul one of the most influential men of the entire New Testament outside of Jesus Christ. When you look at a rainbow, there's many different hues and tints and colors in the rainbow, but scientists tell us that there's only 7 basic colors in the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Those 7 basic colors are always there. So let's take just a minute and look at God's rainbow, spiritually speaking, in the lives of the men that we've just talked about. And God's rainbow, spiritually speaking, represents the 7 promises of God that gives great color to our lives. Look at these promises with me. There's the promise of a safe retreat. Isaiah 32 and verse 2 says, "And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and as a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." See, the promise here in that scripture, the promise to us is that we can always just retreat to Jesus, can't we? We can retreat to Jesus, and there we will find a hiding place from the cloud and the storm. We know that old song, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Then there's God's promise that He knows our sorrows. When we're going through troubles, when there's clouds in our lives, we've got to remember we're not going through it alone. God is with us. He knows about what we're going through. He knows about our sorrows. When God was speaking to Moses about the children of Israel, He said, "I know their sorrows." He knows what you're dealing with today. A bridge was about to be finished, and it was found that the connecting link on this bridge was about 2 inches short of this massive bridge. Well, many thought that the architect had made a mistake, but the architect said, "Just wait until noon tomorrow." Well, by that time, the metal had expanded just enough that the links fit perfectly. You see, that architect knew a great deal about steel. He knew steel inside and out. Can I tell you, God knows a great deal about you. He knows every great deal about your life, every detail. He knows when to wait, and He knows when to step in and to help us. Third, His promise to deliver. In Psalm 50 and verse 15, we read, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." In fact, in 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, the word says, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly." He knows about all the clouds that often overshadow our pathways, and He's there waiting to deliver us. The fourth promise is that He's promised to never forsake us. We'll never forget that beautiful promise in Hebrews 13 and 5, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Do we believe that? Absolutely. That's a wonderful promise. You think about the Apostle Paul. He had enough troubles to break everyone's heart. He was in jail. People were lying about him. He had grown old and feeble, and he was soon going to die. And he wrote, he said these words. He says, "No man stood with me. All men forsook me." But you notice he said, "No man stood with me," because he went on to write, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Notwithstanding, can I tell you, the Lord will stand with you. He'll strengthen you. He'll be with you. That's really the secret right there in many ways, the way I see it. The troubles may come, the clouds may come, and they may be dark and heavy, but the Lord is there with us. And that word is, if the Lord be for us, who can come against us? Because we're on His side and He's on our side today. The fifth is God's promise of strength in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25. "And as your days, so shall your strength be. God fed over 2 million people in the desert when He led them out of Egypt. He fed over 2 million people in the desert for over 40 years. Do you think He can take care of us? Absolutely. All we need and promises to give to us are the things that God has said to us, that we hold on to those promises and to believe those promises. Have you ever heard that little expression, well, they're just living from hand to mouth? It's an old expression that means they're pretty poor, doesn't it? I mean, it's really what, they're just living from hand to mouth. They don't hardly have anything. But can I tell you that spiritually speaking, we should all be living from hand to mouth, from His hand, from God's hand to our mouth, because He's our source. And if you think your source is anything else, just look at the whole world today. Look what's happening in the world. You can trust nothing but God and God alone to meet our needs. Number 6 is God's promise that someday our sorrows shall end. Revelation 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In the midst of the tears that many folks may feel today, in the midst of tears folks may feel when they're in the middle of a terrible time and season with dark clouds in their lives, just remember the time will come when God's loving hand will wipe away every tear. And He will. He'll do that. Finally, number 7, the promise of God's everlasting love. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 reads, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Think about that, what God is saying to us today. He's saying, I have loved you with a love that'll never stop. I've loved you with a love you can't even begin to imagine or understand how great that love is. How wonderful the love of God is. Nothing in this world is permanent, but God's everlasting love is permanent. It will be there toward us forever. So you look at these 7 wonderful promises. They're just like the 7 beautiful colors of the rainbow. And these 7 promises, they bring color and hope and joy to a world and a life that's otherwise dull and gray and drab. That they bring a sense of purpose and happiness that come alive in our hearts with Jesus and with the promises of God to us. So the 4th and final point today is the completed rainbow. In Revelation 4 and 3 we read, and there was a rainbow round about the throne. Now, listen to these words just a moment. Sometimes we'll read something, we kind of move on real quick and we don't quite grasp what's being said. Y'all ever do that when you're reading? I do. It says, and there was a rainbow round about the throne. See, here on earth, we only see half the rainbow. Look at this next image with me of the rainbow. I think we've got it there. Look, you see that image? We're only seeing half of the rainbow. It goes from the horizon to the horizon. But the scripture that we just read in heaven, it says that there will be a rainbow round about the throne. It's going to completely encircle the throne of God. God is telling us, He's telling us that everything is complete in heaven. We just see part of it here on the earth. See, the clouds hover over us. The clouds hover over the world, and we wonder why. We wonder why, and God's trying to say, you don't understand it all now. You just see half the rainbow now. When you get to heaven, you're going to see the whole thing circling the throne of God. And all those whys that we're always asking about, do y'all ever do that? Why, God? Why is it like that? We don't always understand it now, but someday we will understand it. And the poet, this poet has written these words I'll share with you, and they're said very beautifully. Listen to these words. Now, in the coming years, it may be in the better land, we'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. We'll catch the broken thread again and finish what we here began. Heaven will the mysteries explain, and then we'll understand. We'll know why clouds instead of sun were over many a cherished plan. Why song has ceased when scarce begun, 'tis there sometime we'll understand why what we long for most of all eludes so oft our eager hand, why hopes are crushed and castles fall up there sometime we'll understand. God knows the way. He holds the key. He guides us with unerring hand. Sometime with tearless eyes we'll see. Yes, up there we'll understand. Then trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for he doth hold thy hand. Though dark the way, still sing and praise. Sometime we'll understand. And we will. A father and his little boy decided to take a little trip together to have some father and son time together. And the little boy had never stayed in a hotel before. And on their trip, the first night, they stayed in a hotel. Of course, for the little boy, he's in a strange room in a strange bed, but his dad's there with him. In the middle of the night, the little fellow woke up, and he was frightened by the darkness and the strangeness of the room. And he cried out, he said, "Daddy, are you there?" And the father says, "Yes, son, I've been here all the time." And the little boy said, "Even in the darkness?" And the father said, "Yes, son, even in the darkness." And the boy sighed, and with contentment, he soon dropped off to sleep with his father's arms around him. Sometimes we all have a moment when we're like that young son. And we cry out, and we say, "God, are you there? Father, are you there?" And our Heavenly Father responds to millions of people around the world with that cry. And he's saying, "Yes. Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." If we can just realize that promise, those words from our Heavenly Father, then just like that little boy, we can lie contented in our Heavenly Father's arms. And we can be at rest, even when there's a cloud over us. The clouds do hang over us at times, don't they? That's just a reality. But when they do, God help us just to look up into our Father's face. To look in the face of our Creator, our Heavenly Father. And as we look into His face, very soon we'll understand and know that He does indeed have a rainbow, especially for you. Do we believe that today? Oh, He has a rainbow for you. Just keep trusting Him. Would you bow your heads with me today? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You. Help us understand the purpose of clouds in our life. The anointing that could come because of those clouds. And the hope that we have of the rainbow, of Your purpose being done. Even in the midst of those dark times and dark days. God, help us today get our eyes on You. Help us get our face looking into the face of our Father. Help us get our eyes on the Word of God, the promises of God, and the ministry of Your Holy Spirit to give comfort in troubled times, to lift hearts that are full of uncertainty, to give joy and hope in a world that is so in need of it. Oh, Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit to touch hearts and lift them up today. Of believers that are going through a hard time, that are struggling, lift hearts by Your presence and the ministry of Your Holy Spirit and by Your promises being real to us. Oh, we need it. Father, how the world needs it today. We need You. Father, let there be such a passion, such a hunger and a desire to serve You. And to share the hope and the love of Christ with the world that is full of fear and uncertainty. Let us have a new boldness to share the good news of Christ. To share with others what Jesus means to us. We thank You now and we praise You. And we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand with me today? I want to express my thanks for Your being here today. This is our best crowd since we began worship services. This is our third Sunday sort of so glad that you're here today. And tell others that if they don't have a home church, tell them to come and give us a try. We'd love to have them. Visitors and guests that are with us today, thank you so much for being with us. It's an honor to have you. And I know in many cases, your churches aren't open yet. So we thank you for joining us today and being with us. It's an honor to have you.